It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. Our overtime, as Pirates get a big win over Charlotte Sunday night, late Sunday afternoon, if you will, 60-56. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is. Everybody loves him. Everybody knows him. The ladies love him. The fellas adore him. Kyle from LaGrange Barber, how are you, man?
The ladies love me. The men fear me.
Okay.
What's going on, David? And please on my dog. I mean, please not be dog.
Bubba Rosenbaum, how are you in China Grove?
I'm doing well, guys. Hope y'all are.
Well, Bubba's truck shopping, guys. So anybody, any dealerships out there, any pirates out there that are listening that work car dealership, Bubba's looking at a truck, probably full size. He might go for something mid size. Hook him up with a deal. You can where can they contact you, Bubba?
Speaking of deals, here's what we're going to do. In 2020 will be Bubba's year for a truck. Kyle had 2019 for a truck. 2020 is Bubba, and Dave is 2021.
I think Bubba might be trying to get one in 2019, trying to get a deal.
Wrapping it up these last few days of 2019. But
get up with you, Bubba, if they want to contact you about a deal?
Just give me a call, 704-223-0302.
Oh, man, that's scary. You're going to have stalkers now. Oh, my God. Bubba Rowe is going to have stalkers.
That's all right, well.
Yeah, but if I wasn't married, I'd be afraid to give that out. But I am married, so we're good.
I don't get that logic, but all right.
Yeah, that's all good. He's taken, is what he's saying.
I'm kidding, yes.
If you weren't married, you'd give it out left and right, baby, because you can.
Yeah, the ladies, man. Anyway.
Give that number out to call me, ladies.
You know, the great feeling is that we're having a good time because. That was a great. We missed you, Kyle. By the way, speaking of which, we missed you because we were sitting in the bleachers at Bubba's seats, right near the court. And there's no excuse for Kyle from LaGrange Barber not to be there. We had plenty of room, did we not, Bubba? You and I were having a ball.
We did. That's what
we had to babysit your dad. Your dad was off the charts. I love your dad.
Yeah, we had a lot. We certainly had a lot more fun about the last 10 minutes of the ball game once the Pirates made their run. So we obviously fell behind 11 there late in the first half, and then still trailed, trimmed it down, but then fell back behind by 10 there fairly early in the second half, and then started to chip away from that point and got it down to one or two, like we'll talk about on several occasions, before finally getting over the hump there with a little over 5 minutes to play.
Now, Dave, about 13, 14 minutes to go in the second half. Was Dave the good luck charm, Bubba? Did you rub
it? 13 and a half or so, yeah.
Did you rub it?
I had to work,
Bubba,
my day job, and then I went there, and it was funny because it was so much fun. I walked in, and we started to run. And then what was funny, part of the fun for me.
Get out of the tunnel, Dave.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I was saying that what was funny was the fact that Bubba's dad, the more that we started to, like, go on that run, it was hilarious to watch him and also to hear what kind of noises were those, Bubba? That was hilarious to hear him, like, trying to jinx the free throw shooting and, like, whenever he was trying to be loud and he's making all these noises, and I was just laughing so hard. It was sometimes I looked over there watching him, and then I was like, oh, yeah, that's right, we're at a basketball game, because he was making all these noises. It was really funny.
Yeah. A lot of those noises, I guess, need a name.
Like,
but yeah, there's one of them specifically, and I cannot do it, so don't ask.
We'll have to get on the podcast just to do it.
There's one of them that he calls his jungle call. So.
Like Tarzan?
He's mating. I would say he would be mating, but he's married. So how much
is like a Tarzan mom? Thing, Bubba?
I guess kinda.
Yeah, it was funny, but that was one of the highlights of the game. Not only that, but the fact we won. And let's talk about the game. I was really impressed with it's a tale of two halves. The first half, the free throw shooting was horrendous. It was atrocious. Whatever adjective you want to use, that was bad. And one of the things I said, Kyle, that would be the key to the game is if Charlotte could play like ECU, that team has had some ups and downs and not consistent. One night they're beating Davidson and Wake Forest. The next night they're losing to East Carolina and whatever. I mean, it just –
Yeah, who wants to lose to those clowns?
I know, exactly. No, just the fact that they beat some big-time programs, and we're built, as Dooley said, we're building our program. So I think we're, like football, we're a couple years out before we can really hang our hat on basketball as far as getting to where we'd like to be. But anyway.
And that's the thing. You take a look at Charlotte, and you talk about their inconsistencies. I mean, that's a program. Ron Sanchez is in his second year. So I think he's seemingly trying to build in a little bit different way than what Coach Dooley is. And what I mean by that is, you know, I know he has at least a couple of grad transfers, one from Coastal Carolina and then another from Providence. And then there's also a transfer from Oklahoma who's originally from Asheville, who had to sit out last year. So that's what I mean by trying to build in a different way. So that's not – when you look at them, they have a decent number of new pieces as well. So it's not surprising to see some inconsistent play there. And like you're saying, Dave, I'm sure before the season, if you'd have said, okay, Charlotte fans, you're going to beat Davidson by about 15 or 20 points and then also beat Wake Forest. And then also you're going to lose at App State and lose at East Carolina. Yeah, they would have probably a tough time believing that.
Yeah. Good times, and I really loved it. I tell you what, let's go ahead and let's go to the press conference. Let's play that in case you missed it. First, we have two great players. Jaden Gardner, the American Athletic Conference Player of the Week, easy for me to say, and Tremont Robinson-White. Let's go to the players right now.
Jaden, just talk about how good this one feels, the back and forth down the stretch and finally getting over that hump.
Just super, super emotional, but it just speaks to our character and how we've been preparing ourselves each day in practice, and we're really buying into the system, and we got good results tonight.
Tremont, you continue to make progress in your return here, 18 points tonight. Talk about how you feel after picking up this win.
Yeah, man, I feel great, but it's a blessing, like I say, with me coming back and, you know, trusting the process, and it feels good fighting out there with my brother.
Tremont, you seem just more explosive today, kind of. Was your ankle, the leg, just feeling good, or are you just momentum? Or
yeah, momentum, feeling good. You know, you're at home, good home crowd, so had to pick it up, man.
Jaden, is this an early Christmas present for you guys?
Yeah, it's a really big Christmas present, really big.
Jaden, there was a stretch in the second half where y'all were like on the doorstep thing.
Kept knocking. Then we finally got in. It was like four. I mean, cut it to one, back to four, cut it to two, back to four. We finally got over the hump. Tremont killed me when he missed the layup, but we got it.
Yeah.
Tremont, I know Coach always talks about mental toughness. Do you feel like with you guys hanging in there and finally pulling out a big win against Charlotte, is this an example of that mental toughness?
Yeah, it's a real big example, man. Like you said, you just got to keep fighting. You can't give up. If you don't score, you got to go back and get stops.
Jaden, you pick up three in a row now, and you got a little streak working here with East Carolina. Talk about what that does for you guys moving forward.
Momentum is everything in basketball, as we've seen. We had a big momentum shift in the second half, had some runs. So it's just nice to pick up this win, and we got to keep it going. We come back from a little short break. Got to prepare for Eastern Kentucky.
Jaden, what's it like? Obviously, you are still figuring each other out, the new players and stuff a little bit. Getting a win like this, how important do you think it is just for team chemistry and stuff?
I think it's great because you see guys like Tremont that was injured early come back in a groove, and everybody just feeding off each other, and I think we really had some pop out there tonight. And it was a great crowd, great atmosphere. So it was nice to play in.
That's what I was going to ask about. The crowd tonight was really electric, and I was saying, man, it would be – can you imagine if it was 8,000 people?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice, bro.
Yeah, but it's up to us to get it like that. We got to keep winning and keep building.
Jen, you had those four big free throws. Is it tough at all to put that moment out and just kind of focus on the free throws themselves, or are you pretty natural with that?
Well, you got to have balls, as Coach always says. You got to it was a real gut check. You got to lock in. You got to make sure you capitalize on the free points you're getting, and you just got to knock them down at the end of the day. And I was able to do that and help my team get the win.
I noticed a lot of you guys, and Jaden as well, after the game running off the court, kind of pointing up to fans, obviously really excited. what does that mean, do you think, or maybe why were y'all so excited after this one?
I mean, if the fans are going to come out and support us, we got to do our part on the court to show that we care. We care about them coming out to see us. So it's just great that they came out and supported us, and we came out and got the W for them.
How big is it to have a big crowd next Saturday, 4 o'clock? It's a great time for a game. Anytime's a great time for a game. 4 o'clock for the fans to come out and support you.
Great time. Rolling off of Christmas, Saturday, 4 o'clock, Pirates basketball. You can't beat it, really.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Well, it was a lot of fun to be with them because great when you win. It was good to see them, obviously, following the program very close. And you get to see them be excited to write an early Christmas gift. Guys, I tell you what, let's go ahead to Coach Dooley and get his comments. And he's at the podium. Let's go to him right now.
Good team win. I thought, you know, we played, obviously played a lot better in the second half and got a little bit of a rhythm. And I thought that almost in spite of ourselves, at some point down the end, I thought we were able to string some stops together, especially when we turned some possessions over. I thought the guys showed some character and some toughness and wrapped up. I think we had 5 of our last 5 straight consecutive stops in order to wrap this thing up, but it's a good team run.
In the offseason, was this maybe the type of game you could envision as far as Jaden kind of whittling you, but getting help from guys like Tremont and transfer players?
I still think Tremont is probably 65% of what he is. I mean, he you know, you showed some glimpses today, but you showed some bursts. He's just not back yet, and he won't be back for a while. But I thought Tremont did some things. I thought other guys gave us some good minutes. I thought Charles Coleman gave us some good minutes in the first half when we were struggling. He protected the rim. I mean, you know, I did little things that you notice. And I thought Batumba, even though he didn't score, I thought he gave us a lot of good minutes. Came up with some rebounds, had a big assist. I think all those things added up.
There was that stretch in the second half where y'all cut it to one possession, 4 or 5.
And we went 5 possessions without scoring.
How frustrating was that? And then to finally get over the hump, just how big was that?
I think the other thing is I said to our guys, I think a month ago we might have gotten frustrated and not gotten stops. I mean, I think our resolve on the other end when we didn't score was, well, you know, if they don't score, they can't beat us. And I thought we did a nice job. I thought he had a couple of good contests. I thought we fought the drive a little bit better tonight. And then, but I do think there was some maturity the last couple of weeks.
Coach, you always talk about mental toughness. This has to be a perfect example today of how they finally got over the hump.
I don't know if we're over the hump, but I mean, it's, you know, with stringing, I talk about it, and I think this, we've practiced better. I think part of the reason we practiced better is because we had to get more guys to practice, and we've been able to practice a little bit more, and guys are getting healthy. But, you know, when you start stringing good practices together, it helps your team get better, and we've been doing that in practice.
Charlotte's not a team that East Carolina's had a heck of a lot of success against. This has got to be a little bit of a building block for you guys moving forward.
Well, I think the one thing, I don't think any of our guys have been here. I mean, we got so many new guys. Jaden's the only one that's played against them. So I just think that we've got to start, you know, making some decisions on how we're going to continue to get these guys better. And I thought the younger guys, I thought, you know, gave us, you know, obviously we got a lot of young guys, but I thought some of the, besides Jaden, I thought that, you know, Tristan and Charles gave us minutes. All those guys are going to have to grow up and mature, and they'll figure it out.
Charlotte didn't make a single three-pointer after halftime.
Yeah,
is that
12.
Important in what you're talking about of just the second half toughness a little bit?
Well, two things. You know, they averaged 5.8 made 3 field goals a game. So, you know, they hit their average in the first half, which worried you. And then you're trying to think maybe the law of average will come back. And I did think we did a better job of getting them off the line and also contesting shots. I thought the guys did a much better job of flying at shooters today.
It seemed like during that stretch we talked about in the second half, Jaden was, he wouldn't be denied. I mean, just how good is it to have a guy to go to?
And then he gets it. I mean, he's you know, he'll make some mistakes like we all do, but he wants to win. I think his game is getting better. You know, I think he gets a little too amped up at times. I mean, but we forget he's 32, you know, 30 some odd games into a career. I mean, you know, or 40 games into a career. I mean, he still has some growing up to do in a positive way. And I think when he goes back, I think one of the things about him is he accepts criticism and coaching, especially coaching. He wants to be coached and he wants to learn how to get better.
Put a little streak together here now, 3 games in a row. What does that do for you guys?
I think the guys go home to Christmas in a lot better spirits. Coaches go back in better spirits. I think now, you know, hopefully we'll come back with some juice and some energy when we come back in practice and maybe a little bit of confidence.
Coach, you got a big game, Eastern Kentucky, on Saturday. How big will it be for, I know the Pirate fans were, even like
great crowd tonight. Great crowd. You know, people don't think this, and I do, because I've been playing. I mean, they do make a difference because they can give your guys energy. And I, you know, I I've been fortunate. I've coached in some of the best places in the country and venues, and fans do make a difference. And today, you know, they get an assist too.
With Tremont today, especially with the close game and energy and credit, do you think he could kind of go on an adrenaline emotion type of thing in a game like today?
Yes and no. I mean, I don't think he's in game shape yet. I mean, I think just to his defense, I mean, you can practice for 30 minutes and 40 minutes, and then, you know, he can't go twice, or he's got times off where he just needs to get out there. And to his defense, he can't. I mean, we're going to bring him back safely and slowly, but he just needs to run up and down. He needs to get hit with the screen. He needs to get knocked down. He's right now essentially in preseason conditioning. He had, you know, he showed a couple bursts. You're like, that's what we've been waiting to see. And then there's not – now he needs to string them together. And to his defense – he needs to gain confidence in his body, which he's starting to. I mean, he got knocked down a couple times today and didn't look around. And, I mean, it's all part of getting healthy.
Good.
So, very good. Good Christmas, guys.
Yeah, too.
Thank you very much, Coach. And talk about the mental toughness with him, guys. It really shows that, Kyle, you brought up about defense, which is very key. Their level of intensity, I think, Bubba, there's a reason why we've won three straight. The reason why we won three straight, and oh, by the way, we've lost three straight to Charlotte until Sunday night. And so now we have a situation where you've got a quality win with Charlotte. You put three wins together. And Kyle, I want to give you a shout out. You had, it's all on your shoulders on Saturday. Maybe you can go to the game with us if you can. Saturday, Eastern Kentucky, 4:00. Get your tickets, folks. Bubba, those tickets were really cheap, aren't they, for Saturday's game?
I have not seen them, but yeah, the past three games, I mean.
I want to say they were, and one of the things they were talking about is if you bring your ticket stuff in, you could get a free admission. Don't hold me to that. I think they said something like that. I heard something. They're doing a big promotion for Saturday because it's the last home game as far as non-conference goes. And gentlemen, this is a game that we must win. And Kyle said it would be great to finish the non-conference schedule and win those games. And here we are. Kyle, we've won three out of four, so you're the good luck charm on Saturday. You and Jessica got to come.
Yeah, we'll see. But if we can win all four of the non-conference games here in the second half of December, win four in a row, it gives you a lot of momentum and a lot of much-needed confidence going into conference play. And competition's going to step up big time, but you need the confidence. And I think the win over Charlotte did that, and then you got Eastern Kentucky coming in, whose record is really bad. But they've played some quality teams. They haven't been losing to Little Sisters of the Poor.
And now we have a situation where probably you know that you and I both know, and Kyle does as well, that you got to get this win because next week, who do we have, Bubba, next week?
Next week on New Year's Day, we'll start American Conference play going out to Wichita State to play the Shockers, and the Shockers are 10-1. They have victories over Oklahoma State, VCU most recently. Also have a 23-point win over South Carolina.
Yeah.
And the Gamecocks defeated UVA yesterday. And no, this isn't UVA of last year, but UVA was still ranked ninth.
Yeah, and the thing about Wichita State is that, you know, we talk about all the time and don't want to beat a dead horse, but Wichita State's a perfect example, and many of the teams in our league for the American Athletic Conference, for the American, the fact that we are a power program, a power league. And when we're beating power teams, then there's no excuse why we're not a power league. And basketball and football, especially in other sports, we are a power league. And I think baseball, there's no question with East Carolina that we're a power program. Don't take my word for it. There's a lot of college baseball analysts that know way more than I'll ever know, and they say that we're a power program. So I'll definitely listen to them and that. But anyway, the fact of the matter is when you're talking about Wichita, getting back to them, that's going to be a really tough out. It's going to be a tough – it'd be nice to shock the Shockers and Wichita. But, you know, right now we got to focus on Eastern Kentucky. And looks like with we'll get a big crowd in there. By the way, Kyle, we wanted you there with us yesterday, and we didn't get our opportunity to rush the court because we had no Kyle from LaGrange, so it was no fun.
Although if we rushed the court for beating F and Charlotte, we could disband our basketball team.
I was telling him to be like his dad, me, Alan Thomas, there's like four or five of us right close together. We knew it'd be like five alumni, you know, like four, five of us that are running the court.
I tell you what, if you five rushed the court for beating Charlotte, I wish the security guards would have tased each one of you and beaten you with nightsticks.
That's not, the only way that's going to happen is if it was a huge win.
No, Charlotte
is
in the top 25, okay, but just
right.
Charlotte.
I know that.
No.
I was joking. It was fun and a nice quality win. And
oh, yeah, good win.
Now we've got to finish business. Take care of an opponent that you should beat. We're not taking Eastern Kentucky for granted. We are Eastern, in the eastern part of the state. We haven't had it with East Carolina. We haven't had the program that we would like. And I think another thing, gentlemen, that I was going to tell you, too, is the fact that I've noticed ever since that, and I'm not trying to spin this, I'm really not, Coppin State, that was the low point of the season. You have no more Seth Ledet. And it seems like the player, Bubba, did you pick up on yesterday? I know they didn't get off to a good start, but it still seemed like yesterday there was a level of intensity the whole game, even though things didn't start out, kind of started off slow. But it seemed like the intensity, especially on defense, was better than what we've seen recently.
Yeah, I think it was, especially in the second half. In the first half, Charlotte didn't shoot well from the floor. They shot like 32 or 33%. However, they did knock down 5 out of 12 three-pointers, and that was that along with the free throw shooting. Charlotte didn't get to the line a lot, but they knocked down 5 out of 6 in the first half. Meanwhile, we were just 4 out of 10. But in the second half, like you said, the defense improved. In the first half, Charlotte got 4 or 5 easy layups, be it from screen and rolls or just guys where maybe there was a double team, a guy came off the ball, and then a guy slipped down the middle of the lane for the easy dump pass and lay in. Taking a look at that second half, Charlotte, after going 5 out of 12 in the first half, was 0 for 12 and finished the game right there just over 30%. That's what Charles Coleman, I know, had a couple of block shots. That was nice to see. And like you said, the defensive intensity, especially there late, because offensively, there's still a lot that needs to be ironed out.
Right.
You can tell the flow isn't what it needs to be. Charlotte was glaringly apparent that they were much more comfortable in the half court, operating in a half court situation in their offense than what we were. So you could tell Coach Dooley is really encouraging our guys to get out and transition and get easy buckets, and even more so with the way we're struggling to score in the half court. But one of the things that did change in the second half, as far as we're concerned, after we only knocked down 2 out of 8 from 3 in the first half, and so we only shot 4 three-pointers in the second half, and Jaden Gardner and Tremont Robinson-White, they really just put the team on their backs and did an excellent job taking the ball to the bucket. They finished some. When they didn't finish, they got fouled, and we knocked down 14 out of 17 free throws in the second half, and that was really big. And as far as defense, what I was saying is that when things weren't going well on offense, I know we were talking about it as we sat there watching the game, we had anywhere from like 6 to 7 possessions where we didn't get a shot. We made silly passes. We forced it. And even when all that was going on, where it's a one possession game, either with us in front by one or down by one or two, our defense still held up. And so we got something like 5 or 6 stops in a row. And I know you heard Coach Dooley reference that in his post game remarks, just how good it was to see the defense hold up even when the offense was not clicking on all cylinders, to say the least.
You know something, Kyle, the very fact that one of the things you brought up a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to remind you, it's the very fact of Appalachian State going all the way back to that game is effort on defense. It's effort. And I remember you talking about that. I thought about that for the last couple of games about – okay, so you don't have a great night shooting, that's going to happen, right? But when the fact you're not playing a lick of defense, and it was not to harp on it, just the fact of bringing the attention of, I'm happy to see those layups that, you know, were happening or not happening, where if you're going to get a basket, they need to earn it. And, I mean, there were times, Bubba can tell you, it felt like times out there where they were just, it looked like there was a shooter around, and this guy's, well, they're warming up, and a guy just lays it in. There's nobody to contest it. And that's very frustrating, especially when, if East Carolina didn't have the talent, then you could say, well, we just don't have the talent. But there is, the guys are way more talented, and I think that's one of the things with fans was frustrating, is we have had talent. So we've added talent to the team. The coaches have done a great job, and they're doing a great job giving game plans. And I think you always hear the term buy-in. I think Jaden Gardner was bought in to the program. But I think over the last – that Coppin State game, after that, Dooley made a reference, and he said this before, but basically what it is that imagine being a coach and you're busting your butt recruiting, you're busting your butt coming up with game plans and practice and the whole bit, right? And you have guys that don't listen to you when you're you know, that's why you're a coach, you're an expert, or you should be. And I think that they've bought into the program. I think that one of the things he brought up is Tremont Robinson is now at 65%. Can you imagine Bubba, Kyle, when he's at 100%? I mean, he scored 18 Sunday night, and now you have your guards with – the guards are both there, and you have the big men are getting some quality time in there. And then he was talking about Broody, how he had when he had, like, some rebounds and stuff. I mean, he was contributing, even though it may not be on the stat sheet or – it may not
at least not on the scoring side of thing.
Right. So we're looking at now where we have a situation where the guys are going to play hard and they're practicing hard. They have a chance now that they don't have to work on academics for the next week or two. And so now they can just continue to play basketball and practice. And I think last year was good. I mean, it's good that they've had games because it's put them kind of pressure on them. Sink or swim, so to speak. So I'm excited about it. And I know that we need to find out for one of the tragedies yesterday was that Kyle didn't get a snow globe. So I'm upset about that.
Yeah, that was a tragedy. Well, I relied upon Bubba to get me that snow globe, and he failed miserably.
Well, hey, to Pirate Nation's credit, my parents and I and my nephew, we arrived at Minji's about 3:20, 3:25, and they had just run out. So
Brian Robinson's gonna take note of that crap. They're gonna snow globe draw fast.
Yeah. Hey.
I thought that's a nice looking little gimmick, and you know, I don't know if it looked as nice in person as it did on the internet, probably not. But it's a nice looking little gimmick, and I thought with Charlotte being a big game, good way to get people in there. You know, Eastern Kentucky, we got that coming into New Year's. Give away sparklers. That's a good idea. What do you guys think? Give away sparklers.
Hey, Kyle. Now, obviously, if we were here in the next 2 or 3 years, hopefully, maybe, and we'll see if we're fortunate enough to be able to host the American Championship game. Obviously, there'll be folks won't need an incentive to attend that, obviously, but at the same time, but hey, wouldn't that be something to be giving away a few thousand snow globes hosting the championship game?
There you go.
It's going to happen. Yeah. No, that's going to happen with Coach Houston. I can promise you that. Or you can write that down. I think it's a matter of you have to guess when it's going to happen. In fact,
I hope we get to the point where we're playing for the conference championship, but right now, just get us to a bowl game, baby.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I'm not looking ahead. I want that more than anything. I think Pirate Nation, there's so many great fans, and I know that one thing that you hear over and over again, especially from people like my buddy Dave, God rest his soul, and people that have moved into Greenville, is they're really surprised about the fan base about how passionate the Pirate Nation, and I know people probably say, I'm tired of hearing about how passionate, you know, Pirate fans are, but I really believe that if you hear people that are, that move here to Greenville or they be, they become fans of the team.
And the pride's got to come back and the passion's got to come back. Something made me think about that the other day, and we're getting off subject here. We're going to wrap it up. But I was thinking the other day about how I remember there was an episode where I was listening to a radio show several years back, and they were talking about UNC and NC State, and the guy on the radio show, it was actually Bob and the Chugram, and Mike Morris used to be up there.
Yeah.
The Pirate fans, please stop calling. We didn't mean to leave you guys out. And, you know, that kind of stuff where – we got to get that pride back where we used to walk around with our chest out saying we're better than NC State UNC, at least in football, and we got to get back to that point.
And the way we do it is just simply what we talk about. I tell you what, when I've looked at the class, we've had more time, and we'll definitely talk more about it when we have more time, but I'm just tickled to death with somebody asked me the other day about ECU, and I said, well, this guy right here, he's talking about as a volunteer where I work, and they were talking about how he told me that he's down to ECU and UNC. I said, you need to stay home. I said, UNC, no offense, but ECU is on the rise, and you're going to be going into ECU. He's a senior now. I said, you pick ECU and all the sports. I said, there's people that have suffered 4 or 5 years, and they haven't had seen – you know, good times with the Pirates, but I can promise you.
Just an athlete, or?
No, he plays sports. He doesn't anymore. Okay. He's going. He's a really good kid, like academically.
Okay. All right.
And it's not a recruiting thing. I'm recruiting for the university because he's a great kid, and I want him to be a Pirate. But I'll be happy wherever he goes because he's a great kid. But he's such a good kid, and he's got a great GPA and the whole nine yards. He's going to be like an honors college. So. Love that. It was just an honor to be in college. So for me, but anyway, I was just talking to people about now is a great time to be a Pirate. It's great. We're going to have a lot of fun, and I'm hopeful we'll talk about our Christmas show, Bubba. That's a nice segue on my part. But we're going to talk about things we're going to be thankful for and what we're wishing for, certainly as a Christmas gift and different things, right for our next podcast.
Yeah, we will be. That's something we did a year ago, and that's what we'll do that again.
We're actually going to sing Christmas carols, so that's going to be good.
Yes.
Yeah, I know you were warming up earlier today, Kyle. What was it, your silver bells?
No, silver and gold. Silver and gold.
Yeah.
We'll have our
little Burl Ives there for you.
Oh, man, you sound just like him.
I appreciate that, Dave. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. What are you looking for?
Dave, so before we wrap it up, there was actually, as far as that game yesterday, another thing or two that I wanted to point out, and I know, so we had talked about this last night off the air, just how impressive it was and how important it was that Tremont Robinson stepped up the way he did because Brandon Suggs got in foul trouble 6 minutes into that ball game. And he literally sat the entire first half from the 14-minute mark on. And then
Jake Gardner, in the first half, that was one of the troubles we had was that coach did a nice job of, man, he put him back in. That I was like, it was probably, what was that second foul that Jaden got in the 7 or 8 minute mark of the first half?
I don't recall exactly.
It was somewhere around there. I can't remember exactly, but he puts him back in with a couple of, I was like, oh my God, please, don't get Jaden in the third foul. We're better off. We're not too far behind that you can kind of gamble a little bit. It's better to do that than gamble. And coach brings him, and then he had him in for about a minute. And I think he realized that, oh God, it was still like a minute 25. And they could just, like, go after, you know, Jaden, or he's definitely not going to be able to help you on defense. But I was happy to see that was a moment there where I was like, if he gets that third foul, that's going to be really bad for ECU. Thankfully, it didn't happen.
Yeah, that was a big part of the reason we only had 22 points in the first half.
Right.
In addition to us, attacking the basket more in the second half,
like you said, some of those guys may have, I don't recall the exact juncture when, like you're saying, when Jaden got his second foul, but they were in a situation where they couldn't be but so aggressive attacking the basket because of worrying about picking up a foul. But yeah, in addition to that, so Jaden Garner, I know we talked about the excellent game he had. That is now every single game he scored in double figures, and then 7 out of the 12, I think it is, at least 6, maybe 7 out of the 12, he scored 22 or more. So just a remarkable year and a remarkable career up to this point that Jaden Garner has had. Here we are a little over a third of the way through his sophomore season, and not to put any pressure on the kid, but just looking at it, I was curious as far as the number of points and rebounds he has in his career, and he's going to rank well up there if he knock on wood, remains healthy and just stays with the program, keeps doing what he's doing. He's a heck of a talent, and just he plays so stinking hard.
And you know, the great thing about him is the fact that I think he gets the fact that there's a model now of where these guys, we talked about the epidemic of the transfer issue. Okay, let's say you do have talent to be, say, a power league school. I hate that term, but a big school, brand name school, fill in the blank there. But guess what? Right now, I hate to use a cliche, he's a big fish in a small pond. He is like the player, the go-to player that everybody knows on the team. This guy is a go-to guy, right? And he might be the third or fourth option, maybe on a power. I don't know. I don't want to put that butt out there, but just, I think that's one of the things. I don't think, and then his tweet out, there are people that were worried, like, you know, the end of last season that he was going to leave. And I think he realizes that, hey, we're in a good league. We're in the American. I can be the guy that turned the program around for Coach Dooley. By the time I'm a senior, I mean, the program is going to be in much better shape. He'll also have a chance to, who knows if he can make it at the NBA, but I think he has a better chance at making the NBA, in my opinion. It sounds weird to say, at ECU, where he's getting more experience. The coach talked about that in the post game, where he wants to be coached. He wants to be better. You have a chance to work on more of your game at ECU than you do at Duke, Carolina, Kentucky, UCLA, or wherever, the brand name teams, because you're getting playing time, you're getting exposure, you're getting on ESPN. We talked about the TV deal. I mean, you could just go on and on the reasons why he should, you know, why he would stay at East Carolina. It's easy to tell you why he wouldn't, but also you can make a case of why he would stay.
Yeah, is there talk of him transferring out?
No, it's not at all. I'm just saying there was some Pirate fans that into last season.
What it was, Kyle, folks who have followed the program down through the years, they were thinking well back to like the Bill Herring days and maybe even before, but at least then, you know, when we had Mike Cook, who was so good, and he transferred to Pitt. And then, we had Frank Robinson. He was good under Herring, and he transferred. He was out. He was from the L.A. area, I want to say, but if he wasn't from L.A., he was certainly from California. He transferred back to Cal State Fullerton, and then let's see, who else have we had?
We had some kids transfer to Syracuse just a couple of years ago.
Yes, Elijah Hughes, who was a tremendous talent. He was a 6'6" wing, but if I'm not mistaken, he was a heck of a talent, and he transferred to Syracuse, like you're saying. We had Tom Hammonds, who was good under Harry, and he transferred. And the one I was thinking about also. Is, of course, Robert Sampson there after the CIT season. He transferred to Georgia Tech. And
yeah. So
countless guys who had very promising starts to their careers and opted to finish elsewhere.
Well, the way that you fix that is just simply by building a program. I mean, you give them a reason. You essentially, I guess the best thing to say is give them a reason to stay. And I think that that's something that is not going to happen overnight. It's going to be something that we need to just keep working on. And fans, by the way, 1-800-DIAL-ECU or ECUPirates.com. Get your tickets. You can even come on Saturday. I would really love to see. I think, Bubba, didn't they say the attendance? I know that was, they always do that. It was way higher than ever there. But didn't they list it over 3,000?
Yeah, it was announced at like 36, 26. So So, yeah, that was certainly not the actual number in attendance, but, and I know this is something we also talked about last night, Dave, just even with 2,000, 2,500, whatever was actually there, the folks that were there when the game was on the line in the final 6 to 8 minutes, and they got very loud and helped give the Pirates a boost. And so you can only imagine the effect it's going to have when we have 5,000, 5,500, 6,000, or better yet, 7,500 in a sellout.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And I think that's the watermark, benchmark, whatever you want to say, for the program. Is there's no reason why we shouldn't have 5,000 or 6,000 a night. I think selling out the place is unrealistic at this point. But there's games like, say, if Wichita State comes, we had a big crowd. What was that, 2 years ago?
Yeah, that was a nice game. That was fun.
Yeah, that was the one that was on signing day, if I'm not mistaken, right, Kyle?
You know, what I remember about it is other things.
Yeah. I think they had a t-shirt giveaway, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was a t-shirt giveaway, some signs, you know, and an angry lady who stormed out of the arena.
I remember that. Oh, gosh, I forgot about that. But it was it was February, if my memory serves me right. So it might have been
not too long before Jeff Comfer left town.
That's right. It was a few weeks before. A few weeks before we started the podcast. So a very great time as we were preparing to start the podcast, and a lot of stuff going on. And it was, I guess, it was meant to be that we started the podcast, because a lot of great stuff is happened now that we've been able to cover. And guys, I just want to say, before we're going to do our Christmas special show, whatever you want to call it.
Hopefully,
we're working on it. So we're working on that. But I just want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We're going to be talking about that tomorrow. But I want to send that out to folks that maybe, if they for some reason can't listen to the Christmas special, I wanted to wish them a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. We're going to have a great 2020, personally, professionally, and of course the Pirates are as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Guys, do you have anything before we go?
Nah, just in case we don't get that thing recorded, Merry Christmas, Pirate Nation.
We will get it recorded.
Thanks for the continued support, and, you know, everybody have a good Christmas, and ho, ho, ho.
All right, Bubba, how about you?
Just to echo Kyle's sentiments, appreciate Pirate Nation and just everyone out there in Pirate Nation. Have an excellent Christmas.
And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the great loyal listeners that we have and all the listens, and we'll talk about that end of the year.
Hey guys, just in case we don't get the Christmas special done, I got a question for you guys.
Oh my God.
Why all is right. Santa always in a good mood?
I don't know why.
Bubba, why is Santa always in a good mood?
Why?
Because he knows where all the naughty girls live.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Right. I think we need to put this podcast to bed and put a bow on it and call it a night.
If you want more content like that, you listen to the Christmas book.
That's right. We're going to have a lot of fun, I promise. We will get it done. I don't know what it will be out, but we will get it done. It might be out by New Year's.
Kwanzaa Christmas Eve?
Exactly. We'll work on that, too. All right. For Kyle from LaGrange, Barber, appreciate Coach Dooley, and, of course, Tremont Robinson-White, and of course, Jaden Gardner, the AAC Player of the Week. Bubba Rosenbaum, Kyle, me, Dave Richmond, you've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.